This time the conference call is being recorded. If anyone has objections, they may disconnect at this time. Ms. Williams, you may begin.
Thanks very much. Okay, everybody. I'll just take a quick roll call so we have the MP3 recording in good shape. I have Tony Harris.
Yes, I'm here.
Chuck?
Yes.
Gomes, yes. Abigail?
Yep.
Craig Schwartz?
Yep.
Miriam Shapiro?
Yes.
Did anyone else join whilst I was putting the recording together? And me, Liz Williams. Glenn, are you there?
I'm there, Liz. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. It's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to put myself on mute because I'm in a noisy background.
Sure, thanks a lot. Just before we start the meeting proper, I just want to ask anyone else if they want to volunteer to coordinate the meeting. I did this just before on the Recommendation 6 call. I'm happy to do it. As long as someone takes the responsibility of reporting what happens at the call for the committee tomorrow.
I will if you want, Liz.
You coordinate?
If nobody objects to that.
Thank you, Chuck, because that enables me to take notes whilst I'm doing this. So if you would do it, that would be super.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
So Chuck, would you go ahead, please?
Okay, let me start off with Aubrey's concern about separating the guidelines and principles from the recommendations. I think Philip, in his last iteration, actually did that. So if we work from that I think is done.
He created a new category, and I'm not sure whether that's guidelines or recommendations. So, which one the process goes with,
exactly.
I think it's guidelines. But
we need to do that, but at least it's a step in the right direction so that he definitely separated the recommendation. And I think process goes in guidelines, but that's my own opinion.
Yeah, that's my view, too, but I'd just like to...
Anybody disagree with that since we're talking about that right now? Process goes with guidelines? And has anybody not seen Philip's latest proposal there? He took mine and amended it. Now, and change directions if I go in a direction that people aren't comfortable with, but because of the short time, I'm going to just... dive right in. I like what Philip did. I think most of it's good, although he left off a couple key things, in my opinion, from Becky's suggestion that I think make it more objective, and I'll get to those in a minute. I think that Milwaukee had some good comments. Hopefully those of you on the call have seen his as well, and I responded briefly to those. I didn't have time to give a detailed response to Phillips because I've just got too many calls going on today. Let's start off with the recommendation. The version that Philip sent from my version basically says now, an application will be rejected if it is determined that there is substantial opposition to it from a significant portion of a community for which the string may be explicitly or implicitly targeted. And he underlined significant portion, community, and explicitly and implicitly because those are defined later under guidelines. This thing certainly, I think, dealt with the issue that John Nevitt brought up, whether or not it's one objection or two or more or anything like that. And I think it covers it in a way that the expert panel can look at the total picture, as is suggested in the guidelines below, rather than just one objection or two and so forth. The one thing that there is still some disagreement on is the use of the word will versus may. May be rejected or will be rejected. I think Philip's logic that he communicated on the list this week is accurate. But I personally think that the perception with a will there just makes it almost sound automatic. Now, if you tie it in to the conditional clause, if, and so on, Philip's right. But I think from a perception point of view, may might be better. Ultimately, it's up to the expert panel to make a decision in that regard.
Chuck, I'm a little confused with it. The reading of this, it ends saying string may be explicitly or implicitly targeted, right?
Right.
Okay, just to clarify that.
Did I miss that? I'm sorry.
No, I understood something else, but I was probably not listening correctly.
Yeah, and that's not the may I'm talking about at the end. It's at the beginning. An application will be rejected Or some of us think an application, it would be better to say an application may be rejected if it is
concurrent. Yeah.
Okay. That's the part I'm talking about, Tony. And I'm just curious, those of you that were on the Rec 20 call last week, we had decided to recommend may, but apparently there's, and I don't see this as a showstopper, at least not in my opinion, but what thoughts on this?
So you could put them both in, will slash may.
It's Liz here. I might just ask a separate question. If we think about the wordsmithing of this with a view to implementation, the choice of language is really important for how it would be implemented.
Right.
So does the use of the word will provide, for example, too strong language, too weak, too nothing, or is the use of the word may more useful, for example, in either instructing applicants about what the objection process would be, because this has to form part of an objection process that applicants know about before the application process, and then does it provide helpful guidance to an independent panel?
Good question. Does anybody have a response to that?
This is Christina. I am kind of, and I apologize, I'm standing in for Jay Scott and also can only be on for half an hour. My concern with going with a maybe rejected phrasing, and I understand the reasoning for wanting to do it, is if you use may, then I understand the recommendation as allowing an expert panel to decide that the string can go forward even if there is a determination of substantial opposition, And if that is not the intent, then I think we really do need to use will and just figure out whether our concern is solved by saying an application will be rejected if an expert panel determines blah, 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 blah.
It's a good point. And I didn't fully grasp that, and I think that's what Philip was probably trying to say.
I think what Christina just offered would definitely work, from my understanding, will be rejected if an expert panel determines, or, you know, because if it's determined is a little, it generalizes it. It means, well, who's determining it? And so it could be determined by anyone.
So you're suggesting that we insert expert panel into this?
Well, isn't that who's
determining?
Instead of just saying if it is determined. In other words, if an expert panel determines.
Yeah.
And Chuck, wouldn't that get you out of the question that you raised before about the insertion of a staff discussion? Before we started the recording of the call, you said, would staff monitor one kind of comment or not? Would it happen like this? Remembering that this relies on an objector making an objection.
With Christina's explanation there, and with adding this, I am okay with this. Is anybody opposed? In other words, it would read, an application will be rejected if an expert panel determines that there is substantial, and so on. I'm okay with that, and I'm now comfortable with selling that concept. I wasn't before. Thanks, Christina.
Oh, you're welcome.
Anybody object to that? Okay, any other concerns about the wording of the recommendation?
Yeah, I'm still confused, and maybe it's in the definitions we'll get to, but significant portion. I think I'd like to go over that just to understand.
Sure.
Because that one has me a little confused.
I added the word portion in response, you know, when I took my first crack at this, and that was my addition, and I was trying to deal with some comments made by several people, and I'm not sure I remember exactly who made them, but the one
can
of the things
comment on
happen,
that later, Chuck?
What's that?
When you finish, I'd like to make
sure
a comment on
sure,
that.
Sure, and I'll try and be brief. I'm trying to make sure I communicate it correctly. The concern that I was trying to deal with, Aubrey, was that it's not just a matter of one organization that has position, has standing, objecting. What I think we want the expert panels to do is to look at the whole picture. You may have one complaint filed or multiple complaints, and so what we want them to determine, is there a significant part of the community that objects to this? I mean, there may be some significant players that object, but it may not be, in the final determination, a significant portion of the overall community. Now, that's
Chuck, I wonder if I could offer some suggestion about an amendment, listening to both Avery's concern and what Christina is suggesting.
Okay, why don't we let Tony jump in, and then you do that.
Sure,
okay?
Go ahead.
Actually, I don't think it's all that complicated to understand. If we look at what happened with .Asia, .Asia got initial approval from the board, and in subsequent ICANN meetings, somebody showed up from Hong Kong and took the floor at every public forum. This happened at least in two consecutive meetings, saying that he didn't agree with the .Asia proposal. And apparently he was related in some manner or function with the Hong Kong CCTLD. Nonetheless, the proposal had written support of something like 20-odd CCTLDs in Asia, who indeed are members of the organization which requested the string. So I think that might be considered an example of what we mean by significant portion. This gentleman was not a significant portion.
Okay. Liz, go ahead.
Chuck, I wonder if we... I'm trying to look at the language to remove subjectivity where it's possible,
mm-hmm.
and I wonder if this is helpful to you. An application will be rejected if an expert panel determines that there is substantial opposition to the application from members of the community to which the string may be explicitly or implicitly targeted.
Any thoughts on that?
Could you say that again, please?
Substantial opposition to it from members of the community to which the string may be explicitly or implicitly targeted.
That was different that time, wasn't it?
You said,
the first time I thought you said that there is substantial opposition to the application instead of it.
Well, I was just trying to be specific, but it's a very long sentence, and I just was kind of...
Did you want to insert the application in there instead of it?
Well, that brings then another question, because are people concerned about the string, or are they concerned about the applicant?
They're concerned about the applicant.
Well, I think it's probably...
I think it's both, but that's something for the group to consider. So
the application includes both.
Right. Right.
Yep.
Liz, my concern with your proposed language is that I think it might be interpreted, and maybe it was intended, to kind of decrease or lower the materiality threshold. In other words, I would understand objections from members of the community to mean that as long as they were a couple,
that would be enough.
That would be enough.
So you're saying that it's important to include significant, yeah?
I think we do. I think we
okay, cool.
need to have
Good.
A materiality threshold.
Sure.
I appreciate the explanations, and I'm comfortable with what it says.
So is anybody not comfortable with the way it words now? And I'll read it one more time. An application will be rejected if an expert panel determines that there is substantial opposition to it from a significant portion of the community for which the string may be explicitly or implicitly targeted.
So you're substituting art with the.
I'm sorry. I'm substituting what?
You said significant portion of the community for which.
Oh, no, should I do that? I said a community. Should I say the?
No, I think A is better.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry if I read it wrong.
Right. Because the string could be explicitly targeted to one community and implicitly targeted to another, and both would be one, you'd want to grant standing to both in the dialogue.
I think so.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to interpret
that.
Yeah. Right.
Any other comments on the recommendation? Okay, let's jump, and I'm going to treat it the way Philip has it, understanding that we're going to put process under guidelines, okay? So under process, he says opposition must be objection-based. I think that's consistent with what the new TLD committee has done a long time. Any disagreement with that? Second one, determination will be made by a dispute resolution panel constituted for the purpose.
Okay, I have a question on this.
Okay.
And this is more of the staff and their understanding. Would the staff understand a standing panel like an RCEP satisfying this, or would this be understood as needing to constitute a panel for each and every objection?
Well, I hope their answer is the latter.
I hope it is. I just want to make sure that that's the way it would be interpreted.
Did you repeat the question, Aubrey?
The question is, when you read determination will be made by a dispute resolution panel constituted for the purpose, is there an ambiguity between needing to constitute a panel for each objection or having something similar like an RCEP process for this general kind of objection?
In other words, is there a standing panel or... will a separate panel be created for each objection?
And what do you see it saying?
This is Mary.
Well,
does it make a difference?
I think it'd be impractical to do the a panel for every objection.
I just don't want this. Yes, yeah, so I didn't want, unless the committee wanted to say it, but I didn't want the staff to read this as saying they had to constitute a new panel for every objection.
What we've been talking about internally is that we could have an RCEP-like pool of panelists from different functional areas, whether it be IP or legal or any of the functions of the recommendation, and that for each objection, a panel would be assembled to render a decision on that particular objection.
Okay,
that'd be good.
Right, and you'd be comfortable with this statement here not conflicting with that?
I think it's consistent. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay,
sure.
I'm going to move fast because we're just about out of time.
Sorry.
The objector. That's okay. We got to cover it. The objector must provide verifiable evidence that it is. Was there somebody trying to say something?
Yeah, it's Miriam. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I just want to make sure you guys have a full understanding. You know, this is a question that we're going to have to work out with the dispute settlement provider. Just like Craig said, we're going to have a group of experts identified. But, you know, there may be objections of a similar nature, and it may be appropriate to group some of them together. So I don't know that we can give you a definitive commitment on that particular question at this juncture.
But you're okay with the wording of the way it's stated there?
Yeah, I think it's worded fine. I mean, constituted for this purpose could be for a specific objection petition that comes in, or it could be if there are five that are similar, perhaps they're all against the same applicant, or they raise similar issues, we might want all five to go to the same panel. So I think we have the flexibility in this language here, and I just took the floor because it seemed that somebody, I think maybe Avery, it was, wanted something more specific.
No. I just wanted
to make sure. We need to reach that point right now because we honestly don't know yet.
No,
we may
I don't
know until we
something.
Actually see the number of applications that come in and the number of
I think I can speak on the part of the staff that we're okay with that statement.
Yeah, and
that details will follow.
Yeah, no, I wasn't looking for something more specific. I just wanted to make sure it was okay. And
okay. Now the next one: the objector must provide verifiable evidence that it is an established institution of the community. In other words, this is the approach that it's. The onus is on the objector to prove their case. One part of that case is showing that they are an established institution of the community. Any problems with that? Okay. Now, I have a concern that Philip left out a couple things that I had picked from Aubrey's from Becky's input. They also had to establish that they were authorized or had legitimate standing to object on behalf of the community that they're speaking for, and that the legitimate rights of interest of the objecting community will be materially harmed or prejudiced by introduction of the proposed GTLD. those two things, in my mind, are really critical, because that makes it, makes it real clear to the applicant what they're going to be looking for, and to the objector what they have to show, and should help weed out frivolous complaints where they can't really show those things. I think this, those two things add more objectivity to the process, and I'll be quiet and let the rest of you respond to that.
This is Christina. I'm just going to comment briefly, and then I have to jump. I am perfectly fine with Chuck, the C that you would put in, the legitimate rights or interests, da da da. What I'm a little concerned about with the authorization or has legitimate standing question is, you know, I would presume that authorization means explicit authorization. But I'm not really quite sure what legitimate standing would mean. And my concern here is that I envision situations in which it would frankly be impractical for the objector to have to demonstrate that it has specific authorization to bring the objection. And I guess, you know, my question would be, for example, you know, using some of the examples we've used before, like .bank or .myori, I mean, would somebody bringing the objection regarding .myori need to get, you know, the explicit authorization of, you know, every member of the community, the governing body of the community? Similarly, how would you deal with it in kind of a .bank scenario? I mean, and that's my concern. I do agree that there needs to be some nexus there, but I'm not sure that the language that we've got is provides the flexibility that we may need.
Well, does the obligation to show evidence that it represents a significant portion of the community cover that?
I would say yes.
I mean, that's what I was thinking as you're talking there. What do the rest of you think? Should I? But I the last one, the legitimate rights of interest are materially harmed or prejudiced, to me is really critical.
Oh, absolutely. To me, that's the whole point of the recommendation.
So then the suggestion would be to add to what Philip said there, showing evidence that the legitimate rights or interests of the objecting community will materially harmed or prejudiced by introduction of the proposed GTLD. Is anybody opposed to that? Okay.
I would
Chuck and Liz, may I just, I'm typing this as you're going.
Okay.
And it says, the objector must establish, and then carry on. Objector
well,
must
in fact,
establish.
A way to do it, one way to do it, Liz, is under, I'm looking at process right now, but the objector must provide verifiable evidence that, and then a colon.
Or,
and then have two bullets, or use
Yep, got it.
Whatever way you want to do it, that it is an established institution of the community and, or whichever way you want to do it. Does
that
make sense?
That they're authorized to object and that the legitimate interests of the community would be harmed.
I don't know about the authorized to object part, but...
Right, I thought that was the part we just agreed to.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
the part
we
were going to leave out.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, and then that the legitimate rights or interests would be materially harmed.
Yeah. Is anybody opposed to that? So we're okay on adding that to what Philip put there. And then his last point was ICANN application staff will monitor public comments and where appropriate explain the objection procedure to a party making public comments. I'm not sure about that one, but I guess maybe it's more of a staff call than anything else.
Well,
go ahead.
I'll chime in here. I know that Liz communicated, I think last night on the mailing list, that staff is coming up with a document on the role of public comments in the process. I don't envision ICANN responding to every public comment that we get on every application. And, you know, other than educating the community about the objections-based process that is the new GTLD program, I don't think we're clear yet on how public comments could possibly be measured or applied or used effectively. And, you know, some more direction may come when we produce this one or two pager for you folks that I think will be available prior to next week's call. But I think we need to tread very lightly on the weight that we give to public comment.
Well, this isn't saying that public comments will be weighted. This is saying that ICANN staff will monitor public comments and, where appropriate, communicate to the commenter that, hey, there's an objection process that has to be followed if you want to file one.
Chuck, it's Miriam. Would you suggest that every time somebody files a public comment on any recommendation that is the basis for an objection, there be an automatic response that says, you know, thank you for filing your public comment. By the way, there's an objection process.
That I think, is the only way to avoid trouble on this one.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not just this recommendation, though. There are going to be three or four that have an objections process, and it just seems unfair to single one out.
Yeah.
I think there just would be an automated response to any public comment that we get that directs them probably to either the objections element of the RFP or some place on the ICANN website that explains the process. But it wouldn't be, I don't think each public comment is going to get tailored.
Let me suggest, because we're out of time, let me suggest, Liz, that you reword this one to cover what Craig and Miriam are saying here. That, in other words, it's going to be an automatic response to all public comments to anything that will alert them to the objection process.
Chuck, can I ask a quick question?
Would
this be satisfied if we had added, even though the staff is already talking about it, but we want to put it in the GNSO recommendations, is a implementation guideline that says just that in terms of public comment?
In fact, I think that's a better place for it than as part of this recommendation or tied to Recommendation 20.
So I'll try to come up with some wording that I can propose in the meeting tomorrow.
And and that'll also dovetail nicely with the staff paper that they're working on.
Yeah,
okay. Because it seems to me you want to see that before you try to formulate language on public comment.
Now, we're past time for several of us, but do we have, on the guidelines part, did anybody have anything critical in terms of what Philip put in there? I think Milwaukee had one point. I'm going to have to go back and look at that, and that was an improvement, but I'm going to have to go back and look at that to see what it was.
Chuck is here. I know that we're out of time. The text of the recommendation now says an application will be rejected if an expert panel determines that there is substantial opposition to it from a significant portion of the community for which the string may be explicitly or implicitly targeted. The rest of it can be discussed in an implementation guideline / staff processing thing, yes? Because we want to send around this text to the bigger group prior to tomorrow afternoon's meeting. Yes?
I think that's fine, and I think we ought to probably, if we can take Phillips' version and do a red line of it so that
I've got it here in red line.
Okay, and including referring to the one statement is going to be moved to another part and what we're going to say there.
Yep.
Okay.
Does that work? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
This is Craig. Can I add one quick thing with regard to the established institutions? I saw some concern about listing GAC, ALAC, GNSO, CCNSO, and ASO as established institutions. It doesn't seem applicable unless I'm missing something here.
Well, I wasn't sure about that one, Craig. I threw that out there mainly for consideration. This is not a big deal to me, but I thought I was trying to tie in back to the Reserve Names Working Group suggestion of using those responses from those supporting organizations advisory groups as a means of input, so that's the way that the public can provide their own input through those or other organizations. I'm fairly flexible on that. I don't mind leaving that out. What do others think?
I think we probably have lost a few people, but from the staff perspective, I would vote to leave those out.
Okay, I'm okay with that. Anybody object to that?
I don't know that I'm objecting. I think it belongs in some form, but if the committee doesn't think so, then I'll include it in my own comments.
Why don't we just flag it for tomorrow's discussion and put it before the whole group? That's probably the easiest thing to do right now. Is that okay, Liz?
Yep.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay, and if I find, I'm going to have to find what Milwaukee said later. I've got it in front of me, but I've got to get on another call.
Okay, guys. Thanks very much, everyone.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Liz,
okay,
can
you
not
see
this yet?
Bye.
Hey, Liz.
Yep.
Hey, it's Craig.
Yeah.
On that last comment that I made about the established institutions.
Yep.
If we're adding up to the process section, basically where there's going to be a community harmed,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how we can possibly tie in the supporting organizations.
Mary, that didn't make sense to me either.
Yeah, I think
it's got to be tied to the community.
Yeah, those have to go, and I think we just need to make that clear on the call tomorrow.
Okay, that's fine by me.
Yeah, I mean, or unless somebody has a really good reason for keeping them, but I don't think anyone...
There's been concern all along about operationalizing
right.
The
Aubrey's still on the call.
Oh, good.
Aubrey, that's okay.
Right, just so you knew, and
yeah.
I'm one that has not accepted the staff's argument about operationalizing, and so have every intention of bringing that argument to the larger community. And if the larger community agrees with the staff that they don't want to do so, I have talked to various board members about the topic who say, wait a second, we're already operationalized. Why is that a generic absolute no? And so there's an understanding that the staff is not supporting that principle, and yet there are others who do, and so I think it's something that will need to be discussed, whether it's in the recommendations or in personal comments or later.
Fair enough.
I may not have been on earlier calls when you fleshed it out. Do you mind just explaining in
yeah.
a minute why, how,
right, it wasn't
theory for why this would be appropriate even if they're not representing the established community?
Certainly. Basically, and this came out of the reserve names controversial, subgroup and working group and was
right.
approved within the reserve names working
right.
group.
I recall.
Okay, so the idea was that there could be many, many issues brought up by many people that would require some support. In other words, any process you build can't be complete enough to consider everyone. So this was allowing a mechanism by which if, for example, civil society organizations of all sorts were having a real problem with something, but they didn't fit into the established community type of framework that you had, but there was a real strong that ALAC could be the one to represent that interest, not those people, but the interest of many communities, of a large global community that isn't cut up into the particular accepted forms and say, listen, there's a global concern about this. Same thing with government.
Avery, it's Liz. You're really breaking up. Can you
talk
slower
and into my microphone better?
Yeah, that's better. Thanks.
Okay. So same thing with GAC. I won't go through the ALAC example again, but same thing with GAC, that where it wasn't necessarily one country's issue. For example, it could be the Arab bloc's issue, and no particular country was taking it up, but that there was a concern about something from that perspective. And therefore they would get, but they didn't fit any of the categories we had set. So the GAC itself could say, there's a general concern here. We request that the review body, the panel, whatever, take this one up. So it was basically giving the non-identifiable community a way to do it. And it was basically so that no one is actually shut out of being able to be listened to if they